Welcome to episode 187. Mate, Zachary, I can't believe we've done that many episodes. It's the Better of Running podcast. My name's Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach. And tonight, we're coming to you in style. One of the people bringing the style to you is fellow Run to PB coach, Zachary Newman. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Well, great to be back here. 187. I think that's a like a not a good number in terms of in the gang scene or something over in the US. Yeah, pretty sure that was their the call sign or part of the gangs. But anyway, we're here, mate. We'll get through it. No gunshots tonight.
Welcome to this episode of Gang Wars.
Yeah. Mate, talk about gang warfare and the run club scene in Melbourne's getting a bit that way.
Is it?
I see. Oh, it's just, a bit of friendly rivalry, but everywhere I go, there's just different run clubs and groups just popping up. And yeah, there's a little bit of that, and they're getting around with their own kit and their merch and the content wars. So yeah, there's a little bit of that. All friendly fire though.
So it's not at like levels of the Bloods and the Crips and that sort of stuff.
No, not yet. I mean, the tan, when we start seeing alpha flies being hung up around the tan, we'll know what's going on.
A set of alpha threes hanging off of off the power lines around the city.
They're in short supply, so if you've got the ability to hang them up, you're doing pretty well.
That's something you'd be, yeah, serious clout if you're doing those sorts of things though. Like, oh,
You
yeah.
must be loving the amount of shoes that have been dropping lately. I know we haven't done any shoe geek, shoe dog. Maybe we need to get the dog back on Sammy at some point, because there's been a lot of I'm just noticing a lot more people talking about shoes and some pretty cool drops. And yeah, hard to get your hands on. It's like race entries, like you've got to get in early for the shoes, you've got to get in early for the race entries now.
Just wondering how it escalated so quickly.
Come cool, mate. Running
It's
to
like
come cool.
those fights in Anchorman. It just really escalated so fast. But no, like it, I would love to. I know, look, Shoe Geeks is a wonderful. It's on, look, on YouTube, and obviously where you get your podcasts, listen to Moose and the boys talking about shoes. But oh, the amount of things that are dropping at the moment, as you said, quite difficult to get a hold of, but it's just fun to talk about, even to speculate about. So yeah, I think what a time to be involved in the sport, because we go back 10 years ago and we were comparing Brooks Ghost and Gel Kayanos and GT 3200s and that sort of stuff. So racing flats were the cool thing. So yeah. But
Just on that, mate, we've good little segue into our guest, because our guest is, mate, he's bringing a bit of style to the show. He's involved in this. He was pretty much ahead of the curve there in this, I guess, fashionable move towards running and running fashion. He's heading out one of the co-founders of Ernie Old and Simon Haas. He's jumping on a bit later, and mate, you'll be definitely be getting some style tips from Simon.
Simon is partly responsible for why I do need to maintain full-time employment. And he's been responsible for a large drop in my savings amounts over the last sort of 12 months. So no, I love the Ernie Old product. Have a lot of it in my cupboard and have been spreading the word throughout the Golden Valley. So I can't wait to get him on and just, and not only hear about his running. It's similar to when we had Benji on, and I was just super excited to talk about cricket. Well, tonight I'm really excited to talk about kit and how it all comes together with Simon. Hopefully, we can fit a bit of running talk in as well.
Sure, he's coached by Andy, so we're going to dig into his rise as a runner and what he's got on the horizon. So that'll be a good chat. Hey, mate, before we get there, we should hear about your running. Looks like you knocked out another 80K week.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about my running. It wasn't anything glamorous. What do we do? So 80, 81K for the week. We did a session on Tuesday. So Anna wasn't really going to be able to get out much later in the week, so we brought the session forward to Tuesday. I think I was a little bit tired coming off the weekend, the long run as it was. So carried a bit of fatigue into Tuesday, and we did together 4 by 3 minutes at 10K effort with a 2 minute float. And so did try and keep that float around an honest marathon effort, and then straight into a 10 minute stretchy. So solid, like solid 30 minutes, certainly no bludging at any stage during that run. But just remember coming off that, had a rest day on the Wednesday, and then just felt a bit tired, a bit flat for sort of on the Thursday. So just kept that nice and easy, and then yeah, easy case for the rest of the week. So long run was 24K,
Yeah,
and
okay. It's a
went so
decent.
solid, but not nothing spicy in there. I think I end up averaging about 4:45, and was tired. I think that's a nice way to put it. I was tired, not exhausted, but I was tired when it was done. So yeah, this week just been trying to recharge the batteries a little bit. It's been easy case so far. Hoping to get out and do a session tomorrow. We'll just see how the energy levels are. I think I spoke last week. I really wanted to try and put a good 6 weeks in, and I probably might have gone a bit early on that. Not that I think I'm going to have a bad patch, but I just think maybe I just need to recharge the batteries a little bit. So maybe a recovery week coming up, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, so more general fatigue than anything
Yeah,
else, yeah.
just general fatigue. I think like, I've had a mileage wise, it's been a couple of slightly bigger weeks than what I had been doing. And yeah, like work's been busy. My sister got married last Wednesday, so shout out to
Oh, wow.
Kim. Yeah,
That
so
was
that.
part of our delayed episode.
Yes, that
So
was the reason why we recorded on Friday. So apologies.
Unfortunately, yeah, you couldn't record. I tried to get you just to chuck the microphone at the reception, mate, and do a bit of a live podcast, but we thought maybe you'd be in a bit of trouble if you tried
May have been sitting a little bit too close to the family to and my
that.
brother would have known what was going on, so unfortunately weren't able to do a live cast from the wedding. But yes, that was part of the week, so that's yeah, I guess contributed a bit of travel time and a few things you missed. So but no, it was good. I'm very happy for Kim and Sean. She's now celebrating her honeymoon in Bali, bless her. So enjoying a bit of warmth while us Victorians, it's just look, it's not cold, it's not cold cold, but no doubt Zachary, you would be rocking the tights and the long sleeve shirt at this stage of autumn as we come towards the end of March.
No, I haven't migrated across to that
Not
yet.
yet,
Not
still
far off.
time.
I'll start going the Ernie old long sleeve as opposed to the short sleeve. But highlights from the wedding, mate. Did you hit the dance floor? How's the speeches?
It's something, a new term I'm learning. I have to be very careful because I don't want anyone to think that I'm painting this in a negative light. I love my sister and I'm very grateful. It's great to see her. She's in her early 30s, so it's great to see her settle down and get married. So this was my first experience at a micro wedding. So I haven't been to one of these before, but it was lovely. We went to the Coombe Winery in Coldstream. Oh, yeah, let's call it Yarra Valley because that's where it is. But I ventured down to there. So this is the, I'm not sure, not the birthplace, but where Dame Nellie Melba grew up. So that fact alone, I believe, adds a little bit of cost to having said function at the winery. But look, the food was lovely. We had about 30 or 40 guests, and unfortunately, no band. And there was one speech from a lovely young man named Simon. Funnily enough, not our Simon, not our man, but Simon. And Simon, let's say, being his late 20s, good friend of my sister's, really good friend. I had never met him, and rather, I'd say, flamboyant. Flamboyant character, and had a few wines by this stage,
No,
and
that's all right,
proceeded to get up and spoke for about 3 or 4 minutes about how much he loved Kim, and that was great. So at every third or fourth word may have had an F, at the start. Bless him. He was a bit emotive, and unfortunately, I'm not sure it quite resonated with some of the elder guests, particularly those in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. All right, look, I enjoyed it myself. I could see that he was definitely very excited for Kim and Sean, but unfortunately, I'm not sure it really hit the spot. With the rest of the guests. So that was the one and only speech outside of Kim and Sean having a bit of a chat. But yeah, it was memorable. It was memorable. The food was lovely, and my sister, I am incredibly biased, but she looked a million bucks, and Sean scrubbed up very well as well. So yeah, that was a memorable day, but
Was a great day.
yeah, something I'll remember for a long time. Did get some photos. I tried to hide out of most of them, but yeah, probably not ones I will post because I think I look trash. But yeah, my oh mate, I'm not posting my own dressed up photos. But my sister's got plenty on her social media, so yeah.
Hey, we
Nor
put them
nor a
behind a
scrubber.
paywall, mate. We can put them behind a paywall and see if we can raise some cash for the end of
Oh
season trip.
mate, no one's paying money to see photos of me in a suit, put it that way. But for the record, Nora looked really good too. So once again, that's my bias shining through. But no, it was a good day.
Good work. Nice one, mate. On my side, before we rip into a chat with Simon, it's funny. I was, you know how the Strava's got that side by side comparison. We
Oh.
our last 4 weeks, we're both on activities for the week of eight each. You're on average of 80K a week. I'm on 73, so you're 6 hours of time. The crease, I'm 5 hours 30, but the elevation gain, mate, 228 for you, 478 meters for me. So just doubling your elevation there.
Oh mate, I can't wait for when you make your way to Shepparton and Kyla, and I take you on a loop and just show you how pancake flat it is where we run. That's why we go to the botanical gardens on a Tuesday, so at least there's a man-made hill that we can run. But of that 200 odd meters, 130 of it is in one run on Tuesday. So there's like
Mate, sounds
five.
like time trial territory. Maybe the Kyala project breaking two project could be at Kyala.
That was absolutely could be if we could somehow keep the cars from swerving over the middle of the road or driving down the wrong sides of roundabouts. And it's a very popular loop with the cyclists as well, which at the moment, early in the mornings being so dark, they don't see people terribly well, which that's okay. I understand that. But yeah, it has a good potential for a time trial loop, that's for sure.
Nice. A bit like you, mate. Nothing glamorous for me. Just lobbing some K's together, working. Yeah, ITV start sort of cleared up on top of that. Hit some work on the roller, done some exercise, got back in the gym a bit more. Just actually cut my runs back to 45, 50 instead of the hours, just to try and just for the sake of doing an extra 5 or 10 minutes, actually get through them feeling fresh and kind of just resetting. So that has helped. I did a session on Saturday. He did 8 7 6 minute efforts off 2 minute recovery.
Yep.
Came out pretty good. I probably was still running a little bit within myself. I think I kept I still ran. Yeah, I was running sort of 340, 345s for the 8 and 7s, and then pushed down a little bit for the 6. But it felt like I was free, but I just probably didn't really go fully into it. Sort of thinking, just want to get it through it, and then knowing I was going to hit a long run the next day, 75 minutes, which was it ended up being a pretty solid long run. So I think I was probably a smarter move. I think the week before I might have just pushed that session a little bit too hard.
Yeah.
It was good to get through that and just tick the week off. More easy running this week and back to set. I'm just sitting on this one session and then I think I'm pretty good to get the long run a bit further out and back to two from there. So I think it's just been a little deload to and dodged a bit of a bullet on what I've had. So I think yeah, all heading in the right direction.
Ah, good. Like with the extra gym work, are you doing any different exercises to try and help the ITB, or just sort of sticking to
Couple
the
of different things targeting, but to be honest, it's been more using a bit of extra time to do more of the some work on the roller and that sort of preventative stuff than going and actually doing gym work. So I think that's helped because we all yeah I know I'd probably increase the load a little bit and sort of just let it slip a couple of it's just a it's a just a reminder that it's you've just got to stay on top of things and they can get a little bit away from you. And I've probably been working a bit more, sitting more, those extra things that can just tally up. And yeah, hopefully knocked it on the head now.
Fingers crossed, mate. We want those niggles gone. We're just coming into that peak training
I
season, I
know.
reckon. Cool
Yeah.
mornings, cool evenings. Hopefully still. I know the wind can pick up a little bit at times in autumn, but yeah.
Over the weekend, and we'll chat to our guest about this because he was involved in one of the events that went down, the run for the kids that formed part of the results. It was a four pager in the end, Chris. So I know we talked about how we're going to fit it all on the results social posts, but on our IG feed on the square post, it was. But at the font down, you probably just still squint to see the names and the times. And it's, yeah, a lot of events going around. And this is the last 2 weeks, really. We've had Bendigo Fun Run. We talked about that with last week and some of the event. Oh, Andy obviously participated in that, had the win in the half, but a number of runs BB athletes there. Wouldn't we say there was about upwards of 25 there? But mate, they're splattering around Australia when you look at, from Port Mac, Geelong, up to, yeah, all the way up into Queensland. There's been a lot of trail racing at the 6 foot track in there, park run, Tiger Five, like a bit of track racing as well, Chriso.
Mate, you name it, we've got it. Trails, ultras, overseas, short track. Like, I think we've got results from the 800, 1500, 5K. You name it, it's there. I've
Well,
had a.
Masters was also on the weekend. Vic Masters. So we had a couple of athletes go around in the Masters. I mean, yeah, it's sort of hard to do it justice by going into names because, as we know, they're all got individual stories around it. But the social post gives you a picture of the results that are going around. Overseas, mate, from Barcelona, Tokyo, Lake Sammamish, which I had to look up, which is in Washington State, had a half marathon go down there. Nagoya in Japan. There was something else
Oh,
overseas.
Bangalore.
Bangalore, yes. Yeah, so all over the place, run to BB athletes getting it done, mate.
Mate, and across those four pages, like I know whilst they're over a couple of weeks, so there's some athletes that have doubled up. There's the best part of 90 results on there, which is incredible. And the old PB bell's getting an absolute hammering.
Hey, we forgot to mention New York City half.
Oh,
Yeah. When that came, I was like, gee, that's a cool event to go to. And then New Taipei Marathon, Rome Marathon. Talk about locations to go run a marathon. How about Rome?
Oh, mate, Paris is coming up too.
Yeah.
I suppose, look, honestly, London's not that far away either, really, but
Yeah. Gives you a lot of FOMO when you see all these events. You just start going, geez, I might need to start looking on the run calendar and ticking a few of these off. Obviously, run for the kids. There was what do we got there? At least over 15 results, 18 results there. Wangaratta was on the weekend, mate.
Wangaratta, yep, another popular regional event. Just
Tassie, Bluff.
Tassie, Bluff to
Yeah.
Ramp. There's a 5K and a 10K there, I think.
At 10K, three PBs. It's Three athletes, three PBs. It's a happy hunting ground down at the Bluff.
I say it would have been a happy coach, mate. Well, not past friend of the show, current friend of the show, but past guest, Matty Morgan.
Yes, I was
37.50,
very
2 for
excited to see
10K.
that. He does get a bit of mention. We did have him on. We've had him on individually, but we've also had him on when we had the pre-race showdown press conference with another good friend, Paul Reason. And yeah, Matty Morgan, he's knocked out a big PB there. So yeah, lots of results, mate. So it's really cool to see.
No, it's cool when you get to post results like that and then reflect back on it, because I suppose in the coaches chat where we see these results come through, until you actually sit back and look at them as a whole, it's hard to fathom just how many people there are competing at the moment. So yeah, I love that was awesome. That was great just to flick through over lunchtime when that came out, just to see all the different names in there, and the different events.
Potential guests, mate. A few potential guests in there. We've got a number of guests we've already had on, but like we're obviously really keen to share as many stories as possible. So, mate, we've got a hit list there, haven't
Absolutely. No, there's 2 years worth of shows just in that four pages.
we? Mate, speaking of guests, I think Simon's in the lobby. We better let Mr. Ernie hold in.
Let's do it.
Joining us this week on the Better With Running podcast, we've got Simon Hans joining us all the way from Woodend. He's jumping on for a chat about his running. He's joined Run to BB back in Jan 2022. Familiar face for a few of us who had caught up with Simon, obviously through his brand that we're going to talk a little bit about, which is Erniold, which a number of our listeners will have definitely been have seen in the past. So it's going to be cool to hear about that, but also hear about the man himself and his running. Welcome to the show, Simon.
Thanks, Zacha. Thanks, Chris. Got to be annoying at the start, Zacha, and it's actually hands, not hands.
Oh,
That's all
no. Glad to be pulled up
It
on that.
gets
That's good.
mixed up all the time, so I just sort of, a lot of the time I don't say anything, but anyway, sorry, mate.
Well, you got a platform, mate, to set the record straight for all those people like me that
Yes.
bullshit it.
Yeah. All good.
Hey, mate, when you signed up, we got the form and we'd sort of, like I sort of alluded to, seen you on the circuit, seen you in the Collingwood kit before, and you'd laid down some pretty impressive times, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, tell us about signing up and electing to go with Andy Buchanan. Your the plan around your coaching there, or getting coached.
Yeah, so I guess I sort of moved to run to PB. I'd been, I guess, running seriously and getting coached by Liam Delaney with Vigor for probably at least 4 years. But then it kind of, that was all still going great and still got a great relationship with Liam. He was unreal for my running and where he got me to. But it got to a point where I was actually moving out of Melbourne to, yeah, Woodend, as you just mentioned. And, yeah, I sort of wasn't involved with Vigor as much as I used to be. And Andy and I have known each other forever. So we were always in contact and would link up for runs quite often. And yeah, we'd just talk about training and everything else. And I think it was kind of inevitable that eventually Andy would start coaching me. So it was kind of just to mix it up, try something new. And yeah, so I guess I came to run to PB and I'd already spoken to Andy and said, you know, I know you're full, but can you fit me in? And he was happy to help out, which is great. And yeah, that's sort of how it's started.
What about for running in itself, mate? Like, what sort of led you to, I guess, get into running as opposed to maybe picking a team sport or playing golf or just, you know, sitting at home playing computer games all day? Like, what is it about running that sort of you first fell in love with?
Yeah, I definitely did the team sport thing as a kid. So played footy up until I was probably like early 20s. But then I guess in the off season, even as a teenager, would sort of do plenty of running and had a little go at triathlons when I was you know, 14, 15. And yeah, always like keeping fit. And Zave, who is, yeah, my business partner with Ernie, old and best friend, obviously, we always sort of kept fit together and had an interest in that. And then he sort of took the transition away from footy. And then I kind of followed not long after. So I used to play footy and then the season would end and I'd sign up to Melbourne Marathon and I'd train for a month and, the half there. And I'd do the half marathon. And then every year, well, this was in my early 20s and I sort of was getting a little bit faster every year. And then I got to the point of, it was probably 2016 or 17 where I was like, I'm going to, you know, when you're a footy player, all it is, all that's important is running 4 minute Ks, which is the biggest thing in the world. So yeah. All I wanted to do was run a half marathon at under 4 minute Ks. And I got that, I think, or it was right on. I think I was probably generous GPS, but yeah, that was maybe, yeah, so 2016, 2017. And then after that, I was kind of very sick of footy and keen to give running a shot and sort of started focusing on that and got right into it. And that was sort of my introduction to taking it seriously. And I made plenty of mistakes to start with. I was an absolute idiot, just sort of, you know, training, like following someone like Andy on Strava and thinking, no, I'll just do what he does. That'll work. And yeah, found out the hard way that that's not the ideal way to do it. And then eventually looked to get some coaching with that was Liam. Yeah.
Top couple of mistakes that you feel you made at the time, mate, that you'd like to share.
It's embarrassing now.
Well, no, it's all right. We're all friends here.
Yeah.
I reckon, well, the first one, yeah, was I discovered Strava and was following people like Andy and Jack Rayner and you're seeing them doing double runs. So I'm like, I'm going to give that a go. And I remember I'd been probably running for, 4 or 5 months and I was, you know, experimenting with double runs. And I feel like I used to have this rule for myself too, where I was like, I couldn't average over 4:30s per K or something like that. And I was just doing like a lot of speed work and like no longer running. So just dumb stuff like that. And then, you know, you're doing all the reading and you're figuring out what's working for you and what you want to try and do. But pretty quickly I got injured and that's when it was like, right, I need to do it properly. And that's when I got the coaching. So the early stages, I was just obsessed and doing stupid shit, which, pretty embarrassing. But also I feel like most people have been there.
100%, yeah. Bit of football mentality.
That's exactly what it is, Zach. And that's, I think, that's what I used to say.
Don't drink any water.
Footy mentality. Just go flog yourself every run. And it takes a while to learn the correct way to train. Better for it, mate.
Talking about that, PVs now, we can reel them off. Over the 5K on 15:40, 10K 33:10, half 1:14:10, and the marathon's 2:38. I don't know if you've actually even, that's just what I've got. You might have actually even brought a couple of them down, or are they still all correct?
I reckon you got the 10K might have been wrong. I had a good one last year where I ran 32 low. I don't know what it was exactly, maybe 32, 15 or 16.
Blame Andy for that.
The other one sounded about right. Yours would be closer than what I've got. I just know it's like the minute and low or high. So you've done well there. Where'd you find them?
Oh mate, we got our sources.
Yeah, that's good. Because I don't even know them exactly. I just know the roughly. So I guess, yeah, like 5K is pretty decent. But that was, I guess most of them were from a few years ago, apart from the 10K last year and the marathon. That was my debut in 2022. That's the only one I've really ran properly because had a shocking incident. Oh, not a shocking incident, but just a terrible experience at Sydney last year with trying to race with the broken body, which is just the dumbest thing I've ever done aside from, my early days of training. Yeah.
Do you want to go there, mate? Do you want to break that down a little bit more with Sydney? And I know you were prepping for, I remember watching the track, and then obviously things went a bit awry. But you were in the lead up, carrying something, and then kind of just wanted to get it done.
Yeah, that's pretty well right. Where I was having a really good year last year. I guess the years before was like the COVID years, and then I did Gold Coast. So I feel like I've done a lot of racing, say XCR and stuff like that. But as far as like those goal 10K half marathon, marathon races, I haven't had the chance to hit any of them in the last few years. So last year I was going really well and ran that 10K and had good form. Like I was probably running better for XCR than I had ever, which is great. And then we had it, like my wife and I had a baby on the way that was due. Well, she was born on July 1st. So then I kind of got a bit greedy where it was like, I want to have a break and have the family time and do all that, but I'm running well. I also want to fit a marathon in. So, I had 5 weeks off work when the baby was born. That was great. So I was just like, I'll train like a pro. But, probably didn't factor in all the other parts like the sleep, being sleep deprived, and you get slack on everything else like the strength and nutrition and stuff. And anyway, I end up getting like a niggle turned into an injury, like a bad knee, just classic ITB thing. And I was stupid. I feel like in the past where I've got a niggle, I can get on top of it and myself pretty easy. My body's been pretty reliable over the years, and I thought I could do the same with this one, but it wasn't the case. And anyway, we booked the holiday to Sydney, family holiday, and it was like, this is I'm doing this race and then having a break. So I sort of just committed. But driving there, I knew, like, yeah, we drove to Sydney. I remember thinking, there's a very good chance I'm not finishing this thing. But yeah, I remember the Friday shakeout before the Sunday race, like my knee was very sore, and I'm thinking, yeah, this isn't good. So it got to the point that during the race, like very early, it was sore, and I was like, whatever, just enjoy it. Who cares about the time? It's hot, it's hilly, whatever. But then by like 20K, like obviously my gait had changed, and like my whole left side started seizing up, and it was just, it got to the point that I was like, there's no point doing this. Wasn't fun at all. And then I saw a couple of guys, I think it was Crammers and Matt Gunther, they were on the side of the road, and they just called out, good on you, Simon. And yeah, I just, without even thinking, I just pulled off and was like, oh yeah, how's it going? And then that was so I honestly didn't, I wasn't disappointed at all. Like I was just glad it was over, didn't care anymore. I was more just disappointed that I was not smart enough to pull the pin. But anyway, got greedy. That's the lesson learned there.
You're back to full health now, mate.
Yeah, so after that I had some good downtime. Like I didn't run for probably 3 or 4 weeks, and like knee was just fine after a rest. And then I probably had a few months where, yeah, like I said, we had the new baby, so just wanted to have a bit of a rest and just jog around for enjoyment. So I was sort of jogging a few times a week, but not much. And then over the last probably 3 or 4 months, been getting back into it a bit more. Body feels good. Touch wood. Hopefully, being on this doesn't jinx me or anything like that. But yeah, feeling good. And yeah, I guess it's the first. Yeah, back training normally, and with yeah, training for Ballarat Marathon now. So it's a different one this time where. I guess I've trained and raced consistently, and then you have the goal race, whereas this is kind of starting from scratch to the goal race. So I kind of feel fresh and motivated and not sure how it's going to go. I think my training's probably, I could be a bit light on, but just, yeah, I'm not too fussed on time for Ballarat, just sort of keen to get back and finish a marathon in one piece and enjoy it, hopefully.
What's a normal week of training look like for you at the moment?
Well, sort of, yeah, doing 7 days, and I'll take a Monday off or a day off here and there, just whenever Andy thinks it's necessary. But it's pretty basic at the moment. Like I'm kind of, I handle load and mileage okay, but I feel find if I do, if I don't have too much time in between sessions, that's when my body starts, getting a bit brittle. So at the moment, like I guess I'll just talk through this week, but just an easy run Monday. Yeah, it's a lot of easy running. And then I'm just doing with this marathon block kind of like a fortnightly thing where one week we'll do, say, a VO2 session midweek and or a threshold session midweek with the with a Sunday long run session. So like this Sunday's going to be 2 hours into a bit of a tempo. And then the other weeks it's kind of like a bigger marathon session midweek and then just a time on feet long run. But yeah, kind of, well, at the moment just hitting probably just over 100 Ks this week. I think I sort of max out around 110, 120. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing at the moment. Yeah.
Saw a 33K, 2 hours 30 Sunday run there, mate. In some, you got some hills in your area?
Yeah, it is like the most underrated running spot. Yeah, it's awesome. Like I'm biased because I live here, but you know, I'll Zave again, I'll bring him up. He'll probably come up plenty of times. His in-laws live here, so he spent plenty of time here as well. And he's quoted that he thinks it's the best place to train and run in Australia. So I'll just go with that one.
Mate, I
It's
was
got.
there. Yeah, sorry, keep going.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's got everything, like apart from a track, really. But yeah, just like, you know, it's got a Mount Masson if you want to climb there, and it's just beautiful rolling hills everywhere, like forests all around. So yeah, it's really good. And we're living right now at the edge of like a pine plantation forest. So very spoilt for just nice dirt tracks, rolling hills, good views. It's really nice.
I was actually there just one night last weekend, and I was blown away at like just driving around through there, and I did see the trails. Like, bloody hell, this place would be awesome to run.
Yeah.
Yeah,
What were you
Moss
doing there?
Road. I see. What's that?
What were you doing there?
Oh, I was just down there visiting a friend, and staying overnight, and
Ah.
yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, I saw went out to Trentham actually, and the
Oh yeah, cool.
down there, pretty good pub.
Yeah, there's plenty of good pubs around. It's a good spot to live, like, and nice and close to Melbourne and easy to get to. So yeah. You should have hit me up, Zach. I could have gone for
I
a
know it
run
was
or
probably
pubs.
to be honest, I was probably I wasn't in a position to be running on that next day, so I
Fair
tactically
enough.
was like, I better not hit you up, because if I get out the door and try and run with you, I'll be in all sorts. But definitely be putting it on the list for a little training camp or something, mate.
So I've got a few people I train with, like, here and there, but a lot of it is solo, so I'm always keen for anyone to come up. But yeah, it's a good spot. I think, you know, everyone goes out to Fernie or Yu Yang's or whatever else, but it's a very underrated place that I guess a lot of people don't realize how nice it is to run around here. So yeah, I love
It had a bit of a ferny feel around it. And some of the
it.
this is like in some bloody nice properties as well.
It is. It's a cool place. But yeah, just like, I guess the towns around there are really nice as well, but Woodend's kind of got that sweet spot of it's a, you know, ideal running town. And yeah, I guess it was slightly, you know, that itself was enticing for moving there as well. Yes, it's good. And not moving too far from there, I don't think. Yeah.
Mate, some of the favorite sessions that Andy's sort of given you over the journey over the last couple of years?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't really have any favorite sessions, to be honest. I actually love my easy running, and I enjoy the long runs as well. I do. I don't know. Whatever he serves up, I normally enjoy. Like the one that's sort of a new variety is the hills threshold kind of stuff. That's something I hadn't done before, which I guess something new is always nice. But I guess at the moment I do really enjoy like the longer tempo kind of efforts. Like I don't know. I just enjoy sort of locking into an effort and just cruising along for an extended period of time. I like those. That's good fun for me. Yeah.
Hey, before we just shift gears and talk Ernie old, I want to get a bit of a recap from the weekend run for the kids. Went
Oh, yeah.
around, 50 odd minutes, back in the big smoke. How'd you find it?
Yeah, that was like my first hit out in a long time. So, yeah, it was pretty tough. But like, then you look at, someone like Andy just makes it look piece of piss. But yeah, like I don't know. I sort of wanted to get the hit out in before Ballarat Marathon because I hadn't raced in ages. I sort of just need to, see where I was at and learn to hurt again and that whole race mentality sort of thing. And it's a kind of good time away and good distance to have a go at. So yeah, like it was sort of just to see where I was at and probably a good indication of where I was at. But I thought I was probably going to get a little bit better. Yeah, I was feeling all right until you get to Burnley Tunnel and living in Woodend, it's pretty cold here. I'm not good in the heat. And then just as soon as you get into the tunnel and there's no airflow and I just came out the other side and I was cooked. And then, yeah, like it's, I guess by that point it was, I sort of just switched off. Like, when you switch off and you think you're cooked, you're done, just get to the finish line. And then a K later, you're like, oh, actually, I'm feeling all right. So then you pick it up again a bit. And then I got to the Collins Street Hill at the end and I was like, no, I am cooked. So it was, yeah, like I think, it was a fine result, like not too fast. I would have hoped to do better, but at the same time, I think it's a good indication of where I'm at. And I'm glad in a way that I'm not, peaking now. I want to be fit, proper fit in 6 weeks' time. So, the whole going back to Sydney last year, like I was in really good shape 6 weeks out and ran really well at Ballarat 15K. And the next week I was injured. So I think it's good to still be building in a way. But yeah, it was good fun. I hadn't done that event in years and it's pretty cool. You don't get to run on those roads in any other event, like running over the Balti and on the highways and even under the tunnel, even though it's not nice, it's still cool that you get to run on those roads. So yeah, it was good.
You don't enjoy that sort of genuine sulfur smell that oozes out of the tunnel, mate, as you pass through.
It's funny, like, yeah, I don't know. It felt weird. Like, I knew it was in there, like, part of the course. But as soon as I was running in there and deep in there, I nearly started getting a bit anxious. Of like, I don't want being in here. I want to get out. But anyway, yeah, I'd never been more thankful to have a headwind when I came out of there. So.
You've had a few athletes who had similar feedback about just the heat and the uncomfortableness of it. And then, it's like it's cool to go in it for the first like 100 meters, and you're like, oh, we're in here for a while. And then you climb your way back out of it, and
And I guess I don't know. My thought too though was like, if you're fit, it doesn't really matter. So I guess more than anything, I probably went out too hard and just cooked it a little bit. But either way, it wasn't a bad run.
Ernie Old, tell us about
Yes.
Ernie Old. Give us a I know you mentioned Xavier, school friend, was it, or
Yeah, Zabe and I, we've known each other since like grade one. He came to school. He was a little rat bag. We were sort of friends on and off for a bit in primary school because he was a rat bag. And but from grade five and six onwards, like we've been very close. So grew up sort of not far away from each other. Same, within 500 meters. So I've known each other for a very long time, which is pretty special.
So got together and developed. Were you looking at things out in the market and thought this is something, there's a bit of a space out there for something like this? Or how do you conceptualize where you got to?
Yeah, pretty well. Like I think Zave's always had a taste for nice things and high-end fashion and those sorts of he's really into that. Me, not as much, but I can appreciate it. And I guess I was just, we're both just loving running and wanted to. It was kind of our thing that we were became a part of, and we were, knew this was us for life. And I think we're just at the pub one night, and we're just talking about other a few other brands like International that were getting around at the time. I think like, you know, well, Tracksmith, for example, was a cool brand that, you know, we loved what they were doing in the US. And we're just sort of talking about how there's nothing like that in Australia. And, you know, we're a few pints deep, and next second we spent the rest of the night talking about we should do it. Like, we should start our brand, and we should, you know, like, how are we going to do it? What are we going to do? And we talked about it for hours, and then, you know, parted ways and went home. And it was kind of one of those things where you might just be a bit of drunk talk. But then, yeah, the next morning, like, first thing, just texting each other, like, nah, like, I'm keen. And then just from there, we just sort of started working on it. And, yeah, it was always that whole thing of there's a gap in Australia where, you know, I guess there's a lot of good socks and hats and other apparel, but there was no one actually that was like a running brand that, you know, we wanted to make it very clear that we were all about running. We weren't what do you call it, athleisure or activewear, or, you know, we were a running brand. So we really wanted to just that was sort of super important to us from the start. And then it was all about you know, having something that was of high quality, simple, minimal designs, and, you know, nice colorways. Like, I guess running stuff, it is cheap and nasty a lot of the time, and you know, I've bought plenty of that in my time as well, but you know, it might shrink in the wash, or every time you buy it from a brand it's a different fit, and all those things, you know, it only lasts a year and you throw it out. So our whole thing was yeah, something a bit more ethically made, higher quality, and then basing it all around Melbourne, getting it made in Melbourne, because that's where we both were at the time. And like, the running culture within Melbourne at the time, it's changed a lot now. I guess it's even bigger, but we were just so, I guess, stoked on the Melbourne running culture that we wanted to kind of make a brand to celebrate that. And it sort of just went from there, and coming up to 3 years very soon.
All right, yeah. That had a big impact in 3 years.
I don't know, like, it is still small scale to an extent, but we're really happy with how it's gone. Like, it's gone much better than we ever anticipated. Like, well, I guess we sort of thought we were onto something and it would go well. We backed ourselves, but yeah, I think from what we've done over the last few years and how much of it's out there and how people have, I guess, responded to it, like, we're really, I guess, proud of that. And, you know, still independent, and Zabe and I, we self-funded it and all those things, and still just a very small team working together. But it's great. So very, very proud of it, and hoping to keep building on it as the years go on.
Mate, what's it like walking into running shops and seeing your apparel up on the shelves being sold to, you know, to us regular folk out on the streets?
Yeah, I get a bit like, oh, I don't know what the right word is here, but like, not embarrassed, but like, I don't know, if someone, a lot of the time someone will be like, oh, yeah, this is Simon. Yeah, he's the guy with Ernie Old. Like, I kind of get embarrassed by it, but it is very cool going into the shops especially. And I remember always saying when we first started, you know, when I see someone I don't know wearing one of our tops, like, that's just it. And then, yeah, that happened pretty quickly, and then now it's all the time, which is, yeah, it's still really cool. I don't know, it is a weird feeling. Like, I guess sometimes don't probably give ourselves enough credit for it, but it's nice, I guess, chatting to you guys about it and realize that we're actually doing a good thing.
Yeah, like, it'd still be a bit surreal. Like, it, the fact that it probably hasn't sunk in, on, obviously you'd never take it for granted, but you'd still get a kick out of, you know, you go for a lap around the 10, mate, and, you know, you can tell the people that run and know a fair bit about it, because they're wearing Ernie Old. They've got singlets on. Like, I think, I'm not sure, there's this great photo of Elise Beacom from the Melbourne Marathon Festival where she's just completed the half, massive smile on her face. And she's decked out in the latest Melbourne top, which was released last season. It's just like, it's just a gold promotional shot. I don't know if you're able to get hold of it and use it for anything, but like, to have that plastered everywhere, that must have been a bit of a kick too.
It was, yeah. So, yeah, those things are awesome. And like, someone like Elise, who's just, you know, so lovely. Like, it's been great, I guess, as well, meeting so many new people through having the brand, which was something I sort of never thought about. Like, I guess, you know, we're very community orientated, but it was sort of with the people we already knew, and I didn't expect to meet as many new people as we have along the way. And yeah, that's been really awesome. And yeah, the photos that pop up are like, I guess, you know, we do our own photo shoots, and when we're at races and stuff comes up, we'll get our photos that we like to use. But the other ones that people get, and then they might tag us or whatever, and they end up online. Like, that's always great to see how much people are enjoying, I guess, the garments and also helping us promote it. And yeah, that, I know the photo you're talking about with Lee. That one's awesome. yeah, I guess the Melbourne stuff in particular. Yeah, that's always a real high for us every year. That's good.
Where do you draw the inspiration for your designs from, mate? Like, is this something that you sort of just sit down with Zave and sort of nut out in house, or is this like sort of something that you like? I know you mentioned you're a fan of Tracksmith and what they're doing overseas in the US, but like, I suppose, what are your inspirations for the product that you put out?
Yeah, I can't take too much credit for the product that goes out. Like, Zave and his wife Samantha, they're the creatives. So they she's a graphic designer, Sam, sorry. So I guess initially when we first started, she was the person that, you know, picked our idiotic brains and brought, gave life to Ernie Old and brought it all together. So her and Zave work really well together, and they're the ones that come up with the new designs and colorways. And those two are very on trend and know what's, what works well with seasonal colors. And then with other things we do, I guess, like the XC stuff we bought out and the Melbourne range, like that's, I guess, Zave and I talked about those things when there's opportunities coming up or, new garments we want to bring out. Zave and I will always discuss that. But then Zave and Sam, they get all credit for the designs and bringing that to life. Yeah, they're incredible what they do there.
Mate, is there any sort of sneak peeks of anything upcoming that you can share with us?
Yeah, I can. We've got something coming out very soon. A collaboration, actually, with another Melbourne brand, which that's all I'll say because, you know, can't say too much more. But they'll be ready soon. And then we'll have our sort of usual release for, I guess, like the winter season, which will probably be late April, early May, which will be some new standard long sleeves and tees and singlets in some new colorways. We're a bit low on stock at the moment. While we're sort of getting ready for the new season. And then, yeah, we're trying to work on, you know, as I said, keep growing the business. We're trying to develop some new products. Like, we're very... The t-shirts, singlets and long sleeves have gone well over the last few years, but we obviously want to keep developing where we've got a full runner's wardrobe. So that's the goal, to keep chipping away at that and hopefully get a few new products off the ground pretty soon. But yeah, I guess a few new releases coming in the next couple of months.
Very exciting. I have heard a bit of a whisper from potentially one of the parties you may have been working with, and they're very hyped too. This could be just a marriage made in heaven, I believe is the words they used. So very excited to see what you come up with. So on that, with some new products coming out, you're probably, you know, ideally looking for some models to do some of this work for you. Is there any chance that Zach might find another gig with the crew coming up in the next few months?
Well, we'd love to have Zach back, but I think he's a bit scarred because he, from my memory, he had a dodgy knee. He'd been on a golf trip drinking piss 2 weeks in Thailand. So he wasn't feeling too good. And then he also, I reckon the next day he had COVID. So
yeah, that was very hard work.
But no, we'd love to have Zach back. That's still, like, I guess we've done plenty of photo shoots over the years, and that's still... my favorite one we did. I guess it was the local one with local runners in and around the sort of areas we've always ran. And I've got one of the photos framed on my wall at home, which is nice. And it was a great shoot, that one. So definitely have Zach back at some stage.
Oh, mate, way to really hit him up on the spot there, Chris.
I knew where you're going with it.
Mate, so the good thing is, Zaka, that not only is it a couple of witnesses here, but this is going to go out to people, and I know that you will not edit that out. So,
Yeah, we'll edit that out. Hey, mate, you mentioned, I mean, you're so thoughtful with the way you've come up with this brand and the way you're developing product. It's a real credit to you and Xavier and the team, and even things you're doing in the community. I know I've been part of a couple of those community runs you've done, which is like a real true kind of Ernie Odd way, is that like you'll rock up, you'll get it. It's not over the top, it's casual but inclusive. You bring out the esky at the end, and it's like everyone's there to have a run, meet people, enjoy being out in the on the trails out at Yarra Bend. And then, that sort of stuff, like it really does ring true to athletes and runners that kind of are getting behind the brand. And I noticed you also had a pop-up. Didn't get a chance to get there, but you had an awesome pop-up recently. And anything more in the pipeline on that front?
Not at this stage. Like everything's changed at the moment where as we mentioned, I'm living up in Woodend, so I'm just outside of Melbourne. I'm still always in and around. And Zave and Sam have actually they're based in Germany at the moment. So it's a bit different for us at the moment. So having the community runs is a little bit tricky to do. Especially now with a young baby as well, but yeah, I guess we'd definitely like to do the pop up again. That was awesome. I guess the dream is for us to one day have our own store, and that was like I guess a bit of a trial and intro to how it could potentially work. And it was great. Like, went better than expected. Met a lot of great people again, and yeah, a lot of fun. So I think the pop up will probably become a staple. We'll try and do that at least once a year. Yeah, in the immediate future, not much happening in that sense, but definitely got some plans in the pipeline for I guess later in the year once, yeah, but trying to stay involved with the community, running community in Melbourne as much as we can. And I guess, where we make the custom garments for run groups, getting more involved with some different run clubs and communities there as well, yeah, that's been great in the past as well.
Yeah, mate, we're definitely seeing it out there more and more, and you got a lot of channels it's going out through, and seeing it in retail, seeing it online, and yeah, it's awesome to see. Mate, thanks for letting us see behind the curtain to learn a bit more about Ernie Old.
That's all right.
Christo, should get him on to the quick questions.
Yeah, no,
No,
look,
he'll
looking forward
go.
to this, mate. We start out pretty easy before we start in to get some of the deeper ones. So a couple of layups, just a bit of a warm-up. But what watch have we got, mate? Garmin, Chorus? It can't be an Apple Watch, surely.
Ah, shit, no. I'm a man of simple pleasure, so I've still just got a basic old Garmin. Is it like a 235 or something like
Nice,
that?
a vintage
Yeah,
model.
I don't get too much into the data. I'm quite happy to just have the time and distance and splits, and yeah, I don't need all the other stuff.
No music? Does that doesn't have music, that one, 235.
Nah, I really run with music. Yeah, I don't know. I go through phases where I might. I guess if I'm doing a long 2.5 hour run on my own, I might take headphones and just have some shorts that I can carry my phone in. But no, I'm typically not a music runner or a podcast runner at all.
What about the phone, mate? iPhone or Android?
Oh, sorry, I might have froze there for a second.
No,
Yeah,
you're right.
iPhone. Yeah,
iPhone, yep.
I don't even know what number it is.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's okay, mate. That's fine. That doesn't matter. Favorite gel? What gels are we doing on the long runs in prep for the marathon?
Yeah, I've always stuck to Morton, but then I've been getting on those pure gels lately. So I'm gonna go with them. I'm liking them. They're good.
No, like that. One piece of advice for
Yeah.
18-year-old Simon.
Quit footy early. Start running early. And then do the take the exact same pathway I did with the stupid shit, and then but doing it at 18 rather than 22.
I like that. We had Jamie on last week, and his was go and invest in crypto.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was supposed to be a
No, this can be anything. This is yeah, literally running. If you is there something like other than running, is there something that you would also pass on to 18-year-old Simon?
Yeah, it's actually, I guess, quit footy early, because that would solve a few of them. Yeah, no, footy days were good. Also, yeah, I didn't need to be playing after 18. Yeah,
mate. Any race in the world that you could go and do? So open budget. You know, that's just money keeps rolling in from Ernie Old. You've got, you know, the opportunity to travel anywhere to go and do any race. What's it going to be?
Yeah, right. That's a good one. I don't know. I'm just going to say Boston. I guess, yeah, that's sort of actually trying to plan on doing that one next year. Zabe and I talk about trying to link up there. It's not halfway at all, but yeah, that's one my old man's always had on his bucket list, which won't be happening now. So Boston's always kind of been one that I've had in the back of my mind that I want to do one day. So we'll go Boston.
Maybe a bit of exclusive Boston kit, sort of a la Tracksmith from Ernie.
Yes. Yeah, well, Tracksmith won't like that, but yeah, we'll see. I don't think we can compete with them over there. No way.
Mate, favorite bit of kit you've produced?
I'm just going to go with the classic wash black we've got. I think that was like our original item. It was always supposed to be a bit of a faded black, and it's the only item we restock. And it's just, yeah, it's the OG, and it's still my favorite probably. So I'll go with just wash black.
I've got the long sleeve of that. It is, mate, it's a ripping. I mean, the fabric, just on the fabric you guys get, is it out of Italy?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So, yeah, from Italy. Everything else is done in Melbourne, but we basically, have a fabric supplier in Italy, sends it over to a factory in Melbourne to do the manufacturing. So, yeah, that's the nice quality coming out of Italy. It's lovely.
You can really tell it's quality kit. Like when you've worn other, just call, you know, fast fashion, cheap, nasty sort of stuff.
Yes.
Where you kind of, you can tell a difference. Like, and when you're an hour into a run, it actually really does make a difference.
Yeah. And that was always our thing. Like the fabric was, I guess, number one priority. Once we had that, that's when we started focusing on designing everything and I guess the cuts and everything else. But yeah, I think we've found too that, you know, I'm still wearing the same Ernie Old stuff that we brought out 3 years ago, and you know, might have worn a little bit, but it's still in great nick and fabric holds really well. So it's nice stuff. Anyway, that's enough of a plug.
No. Which leads me to my next question. Look, it could quite possibly be the same thing, but we might even break this up into seasons. What's the one must-have bit of kit from Ernie Old? So for summer and for winter, I've got my own thoughts on this because I'm heavily biased because I love the stuff. You're part of the reason why I still have to work two jobs, but that's okay. I'm willing to make these sacrifices. But one piece of kit for summer, one piece of kit for winter. And this goes out to the people that might not have been introduced to Ernie Og before. And, you know, if they're listening, they should be all over the quality by now. But what are we going with?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. You've been a very good supporter of ours over the years. I don't know. I guess do you mean like specific item and colorway?
Mm-hmm.
Or
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're a bit low on stocks. That's tricky. But I guess, I'll go with my favorites of being the deep water, which is essentially the blue color that's got the lighter colored sleeves. That's my favorite winter running top. I typically, it's freezing in Woodend, like I've mentioned. So I might wear a layer underneath as well of like an Ernie Old singlet. But deep water long sleeve is my number one go-to for winter. Yeah, summer. So, well, it's got to be one kind of singlet. Yeah, I guess we'll go with the wash black again. That's the staple, mate, and we'll be restocking those again soon. So, yeah, wash black, race singlet, or also, I guess the Melbourne ones are very special to us as well, where
Yeah.
they're very limited and single release, and once they're done, they're done. We get hit up about them regularly of when are you bringing more out, and it's we're not.
Like, no.
So, yeah, I guess the original one of that too is that was the whole idea of let's do a Melbourne singlet. Is it going to go well? And it went great. And now it's kind of become a bit of our trademark to do a Melbourne range every year. So the first one's pretty special there.
Yeah,
Are you
like
thinking? Are you thinking, Simon, you might go into suburbs, like start just punching out Richmond, South Yarra, just sort of
I don't
roll
know about that.
out 800 singlets.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know how they'd go. I don't think they'd sell too well.
Frankston.
Was gonna say, with the blue collar mentality of Ernie, there'd just be some suburbs that'd be off limits. You wouldn't be able to print gear for.
Yeah, probably. I think it still takes a lot of people to, I guess we're not, our brand isn't for everyone where the price point is a little bit higher, but so, I've bought plenty of discount stuff over my time as well, but that's okay. So some people can't justify paying $90 for a singlet, and that's all right as well. But yeah, I think some of the real maybe hard blue collar suburbs, they probably don't want to spend $90 on a singlet.
It's an investment in your health and looking good.
Exactly.
So,
And you're supporting locals, so all wins. Yeah.
no, and full agreeance in the sort of deep water top. Just absolutely love that. But yeah, the Melbourne, you think it's hard to get a spot in the Melbourne Marathon itself? You want to try and get one of these singlets when they're released, you got to be quick. So,
That's
no, the hype is justified. Don't worry about that.
a fair call, Chris. I think you're yeah, that's a good call.
That you touched on it before, living in Woodend, you've pretty much got every facility that you could ever hope to have as a runner. But list these, I want you to rank these, mate, in order of preference: track, road, and trails. One, two, three.
Order of preference of what I'd like to train on.
Yeah, or just what's the best? So
Oh, as in,
just what you enjoy.
yeah, okay. I'll go trails number one. I think I'm not like full single trail kind of guy. I get on them every so often, but if you're talking like just dirt trails, forest kind of roads, yeah, I'll take them every day. Roads probably number two for the sessions. Track, I feel like I used to love the track, and I'd run on it weekly when I lived in Melbourne, but now I've kind of come 2 years living here. The track's just that's a real novelty to get on now. So I do still love getting on the track, but yeah, it's kind of not even on my radar anymore.
That's fair enough, mate. When you've got trails as good as the ones you've got at your back doorstep, I don't blame you at all. What about shoes? What are your go-to shoes, like for easy days and for, I guess, your sessions or your races?
Well, I've got at the moment, I mix them up all the time. Like, I think I kind of always get my shoes from the running company in Clifton Hill. And we'll just talk to Chris, who's the owner there. And I trust him, and he knows what I like. And he just tells me what's coming out. And he'll sort of give me whatever he's liking. So, yeah, but at the moment, I've got Super Blasts, which I'm sort of using just for long runs, trying to save them a little. Nova Blast, which Zave actually got me for a Christmas present, very generous. So yeah, I'm a big ASIC train at the moment, which I haven't been in the past. And then I've got like a pair of Hoka trail shoes that I'll throw on if I'm going, I guess, mostly in the forest. What else? Race shoes. I've got, yeah, Vaporfly like two, I think they are. So I might wear them for a shorter race. And I just picked up a new pair of the Alpha Flies, which I'll probably wear for Ballarat Marathon. I wore them on the weekend. They felt pretty good. Yeah, so I've got a fair old shoe rotation, much to my wife's dismay. But I always just try and tell her, no, I got them for free.
It's work. Yeah, mate, there's got to be some perks for work. So,
So yeah, I do love my shoes and mixing them up, but yeah, I feel like I'd definitely want more as well if I could, but yeah, they get a bit pricey, don't they?
that's all right. What about a favorite Aussie athlete for yourself, mate? Is it Andy?
Well, I kind of have to say Andy's default, don't I? But if I was going to choose someone else, like current or retired?
Yeah, yep, either or.
Either or, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a big fanboy in a way. I think I was when I first really got into running. I was a big fanboy, and I really like Collis. Yeah, so I'll just go with Collis. He was just someone I thought was awesome when I first was getting into it, and then yeah, we'll go with him.
Very good, mate. One last one from me.
Yeah.
If you could eat one meal for the rest of your life, and we'll take some subtle variations. But yeah, one meal, every meal. So breakfast, lunch, dinner, pre-run, after run. What's it going to be? Have you got a bit of a go-to, a specialty that you cook, or is there some takeaway that you prefer? Or
That's good.
yeah.
We could be up at the Holgate Brewery in now, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I eat a lot of pasta. I do love pasta, but then the thought of having it every day makes me sick. I don't know. That's hard. That's good. Let's go eggs on toast because I eat eggs on toast most morning for brekkies, and I never get sick of that. So let's go with that.
Love that. Tell us about the eggs, mate. Do you whip change them up? So sometimes it's scrambled, other times poached, or what's your go-to egg?
It's actually majority just fried, just easy. It's a bit like to me, it's completely normal, but yeah, fried with a bit of sriracha sauce on top. That's nice. But if yeah, if my wife's she every now and again, well, actually, I shouldn't say every now and again. Yeah. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. Yes, I'll get some poached eggs if my wife's cooking for me, which she does quite often. She's great with that.
Mate, bit of the sriracha sauce. I'm very nervous about that. If you're having that just before you head out for a run,
It's normally post run. So yeah, it's a I'm so used to it. And I love it, but it's a kind of sriracha sauce on eggs on toast with a black coffee. It's when you I remember sending a photo of it to a mate one day, and he's like, "That is a shocking combination." But yeah,
mate.
that's my morning.
That sounds like the sort of breakfast that, real men had back for breakfast in the 70s. And that's the thing Deeks had before he went out and did a session, I reckon.
This is normally post run, but that's probably a good reason why my guts doesn't hold on all the time. But anyway,
Rolling bread with it, mate. You got sourdough.
yeah, I like my sourdough. I think there's no point wasting your time with shit bread. You got to get good bread. Even though it's costing about
Bakeries
40
up your
bucks, I
way
reckon.
too.
Hey?
Got some good bakeries up your way.
Yeah, we do. Yep. And lucky supermarkets stock some nice bread now. So yeah, I've always got some good bread getting around the house, and yeah, that's important.
No, I agree. There's no point. If you're going to have toast with something, it might as well be good bread.
Yep, exactly right. Cool.
Love it. Mate, you survived the quick questions. It's been great having you on, mate. It's been really, really interesting hearing about firstly your running and then also just about earning on, because I know me and Chris have probably mentioned a fair few times over the journey on the show and giving you a shout out, but to actually hear a little bit more about the story was really cool. So we appreciate you sharing those details as well.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate you guys supporting us and getting us on. Getting me on tonight. Sort of one of those. I feel like I've been talking for nearly an hour now, and I can't even remember half the stuff I've said. So I hope I've haven't spoke too much nonsense.
No, mate, rest assured, I'm very excited for the launch of some of this new kit that's coming out, particularly the collab. I don't want to get
Well,
in trouble.
you might be thinking of a different collab, Chris. I don't know if you're thinking of the same one. We got
What?
the
He's across
collab with
everything, Chris, though,
another.
when it comes to fashion.
Yeah, it was a collab with another brand, but then there's one with a store as well. So I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm thinking the brand.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, you're probably onto it then.
Yeah.
Sorry
Yeah, I
for
don't know.
sorry for doubting you.
No, that's okay. But yeah, looking forward to seeing what happens there. And the talk of new season colorways and that, oh, sign me up.
Yeah, no, we're excited for that. And yeah, it's always a good time getting the new gear. Like, we get excited for that too. And yeah, so plenty to come this year. Hopefully another
Also,
good year. Yeah.
and a big good luck to your final prep for Ballarat. People can
Yeah.
follow you on Strava. They can jump on to Ernie Old as well and check out the kit. We'll
Yeah.
put all the links in the show notes. But thanks again, Simon.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, mate.
Chris, so mate, I reckon you got through about, I don't know, 10 out of the 100 questions you had lined up for Simon around Ernie Old, but maybe we'll have to get him back on to just to have a one-on-one with you.
Mate, when the new kit's about to be released, we might
Yeah.
perhaps get. And that's the hard part with podcasting. It's not a real visual medium. So all
Yeah.
the things I want to talk about, nobody else can see. So, but yeah, very excited. Very, very excited for some upcoming releases for sure.
It's been a little time between drinks for a world record chat.
It has, and to be
Been a
fair,
bit curious of late.
well, I don't know what's happened to us. We've become like more of a serious podcast, and it's time to break the shackles because there's been a few requests. And mate, you've had something pop onto your desk that you were blown away by. So, what do you reckon?
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, I know we've had a bit of a hot spell down in Melbourne. We had a few days back to back, some 36 sort of days, and talk about getting the rig out, Chriso. Some people were obviously running around the town with the tops off of late. But how about getting around the ice or the snow with the top off and barefoot? How would you go doing that, mate?
Mate, I don't like the snow. Firstly, it's cold. I like looking at it. Believe me, I love the pictures of the mountains and people skiing it. But for me being out in it, nah. Like I don't like ice baths. I don't like cold showers. I don't like being hit in the face with snowballs. This is a hard no for me. Would I like to go and run at Falls Creek? Absolutely, in the summer. But no, the winter. Tell me more, mate. I'm intrigued.
So, Joseph Selak over the weekend became the proud new Guinness World Record holder for the fastest half marathon completed barefoot on ice/snow. A feat he accomplished in 1 hour 50:42. So, it's good going. He was wearing nothing but a pair of short tights, and this is according to the article, on a static grin. So he's a Czech therapist, lecturer, and personal development coach. Mate, the record he took down, and he put like 26 minutes into it, was from, do you know this guy, Wim Hof, the
Oh, the
Iceman?
old yes. Heard about Wim and his breathing techniques and his
Responsible
love
for a
of the
bit of the ice
cold.
bath movement.
Yeah,
Yeah. So
yeah.
he had the world record before that at 2 hours 16. So he's absolutely smacked that apart, Joseph. That's crazy. So he's run that in an open circuit near the highest mountain in the Czech Republic, or Czechia. Was measured by a professional surveyor. So I don't know how you we'll go with that. Not AIM certified, but a surveyor. But yeah, you saw the photo. Obviously, this is a podcast, you can't see it, but yeah, tops off, barefoot, crazy.
See, you ever run those mornings? It might be 4, 5 degrees. You're out there doing a warm up and the toes go a bit numb, gets a bit uncomfortable. And you're like, oh, I just want to get going just so I don't, just feel all right. This man's out here rolling barefoot through ice. Like, no, like there's just so many things I would rather do. And to think, read a bit of a snippet because at first I was disgusted. Like, why are you even out doing this? Like, the frostbite's got to be a real thing. Like, there's some things that just, no, that's actually hazardous to your health. Full credit, you got a world record. That's great. But why are you doing this? Why? But as part of his preparation, Zach, it's led to believe that his prep started a good 11 years ago where, he's our man Joseph. He's not just a barefoot runner. He would walk over hot coals and glass shards to show people how to manage their fears. I, mate, speechless. Don't know. Like you look and think, oh, half marathon, 150. Plenty of people have run under that. Yeah. And to think that he's taken it off Wim Hof, because that is a hardcore man. Not necessarily someone I look up to, the Iceman, but look, the fact that he's out there and he was the previous record holder tells you that not a lot of other people have attempted it because Wim wouldn't necessarily be the greatest athlete in the world. Obviously, very strong-minded, but yeah, Joseph's come along and absolutely cleaned it, and
This is heading
just.
towards the personal development slash influencer battle where you maybe get Goggins to just roll up, the mind over matter, that type of thing. Because yeah, like you mentioned, he some of the article reference obviously 2013 he was doing the glass shard walking and all the rest of it, but went through a little bit of a personal some personal issues in 2017 where he went through a breakup. Went a bit off the rails, mate. He had some unhealthy eating, alcohol, even cigarette use. So he's gone down Uncle Chen sort of route. And he got into running as a distraction from the heartbreak. And his quote here is, "My communication with my body developed strongly, and after only a few months, I had a need, had the need to run barefoot and half body." I don't know why you need to go half body. Anyway, barefoot and half body. And he ran several tens of kilometers or marathons year round barefoot. Then he started to get into in the lead up, mate, he was just submerging his feet in a tub of ice every day. That was part of the training technique before having a crack at this. But this isn't his first rodeo, mate. It's not his first world record. He's actually already got a world record. Did you know that, Chriso?
No, I did not. I shudder to think what it is.
He holds the planking world record.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, how long, dare I ask? How long has he held a
Bit
plank
longer than
for?
that, mate. 2023, he got it. And, oh, mate, I'll let you guess this. So with a plank, you don't plank. Yeah, how long do you reckon you'd go the plank for?
We do a bit of plank work at Pilates, and I start like we usually do sort of 45 seconds to a minute. And I get real nervous when Anna tells us to hold for four, because that 4 seconds is normally about 20. So after, a good sort of minute and a half, 2 minutes of planking on a Pilates reformer, that usually sees me out. So I'm thinking that I'm probably not anywhere near the ballpark of what Joseph scratched, but what are we talking? Like an hour, hour or so?
It's like price. This is like Price is Right or one of those games. You're definitely going up, mate. You're going upwards of that. You got to go up a fair bit on the mountain.
Oh no, so we're essentially scaling a mountain here.
You're going higher.
Higher. Oh, like 2 hours plus.
Nah, mate, I'm gonna help you out because we're here for a while if you just keep going. We're going 9 hours and 38 minutes.
Oh no, that's
47 seconds.
no.
Yeah.
Mate, I can't go that long without food. Let alone
He took 8 minutes off the previous record when he got that in 2023. So That is, yeah, I don't think I've ever done a 9 hour work day, let alone planking for
Oh,
9 hours.
that's why would you subject anyone to that? I mean, I think there's only one man on the planet that can take this on and possibly beat Joseph, and that is David Goggins. I don't have any connections to his people or Joseph's people, but imagine that, a one-on-one battle over the half marathon, because Goggins is a renowned ultra runner and he embraces the pain cave. Know whether they could have a plank off, maybe
Yeah,
a
maybe
like
this
a
you're onto a
duathlon, like a
attempt.
plank into a half
Yeah.
marathon.
I don't know what it'd be like from a spectator point of view, watching a plank for 9 hours.
Do you think it would? So is this, you've got your pay-per-views, UFC, they sell heaps of them, boxing, you name it. Pay-per-views are very popular. Would this be a pay-per-view, or is this something that's more likely to be on ESPN, the Ocho?
No, I'm saying, mate, you've got to put this free to air. You don't need to put this one behind. It's like that slow TV, like where they had the train.
Mate, that was very popular during COVID. I may have sat down
Yeah.
and watched some of the train trip on the Garn.
Yeah. I think
But
that'd be
that.
more exciting than watching Joseph on the plank for 9 hours.
Could you imagine co color commentary on the plank and just doing a bit of background? So a bit of, talking with his coach. The witnesses to those who watched him walk across the glass shards and the hot coals. Maybe probably if we were going to jazz this up and put it on TV, Mitchy, we would need Mitch.
Yeah, you'd need Mad
Mitch.
Mitch. Even he would struggle with a 9 hour plank commentary.
Nine-hour day. Like, Mitchy, we need you to hype this plank and give it all it's worth. Like, just ease into it,
Yeah.
but we need you to build the tension and the suspense and create a story. If he can't do it, I don't think there's anyone on the planet who can.
Yeah. Nah, shout out to Joseph. Big fan of the show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm sure he was waiting for that after doing the half marathon after the plank previously, the year before.
No, it's
And well,
we definitely try to.
we will be on the hunt, mate. We will be firing up to get that record back.
He's probably dirty that he wasn't mentioned in Around the Grounds. We did cover quite a few international results, but Joseph didn't get a mention, so unlucky.
Yeah.
But this is what this spotlight is.
Uncoachable is the word that's been thrown around. I don't think we'll see a sign up come through for Joseph anytime soon. We did too vanilla with our breaking 20-minute programs and just doing regular marathons with clothes on, not barefoot.
I'd love to see if he, like in the sign up form, if he put match me and just who you felt was the best person to assist Joseph chase his goals.
Brady, you give him Brady. Two peas in a pod. On that note, shout out to Brady as well as we close out before he cancels us again.
Yeah, no. I think we've already had our first warning, so
Yeah.
hopefully this isn't strike two.
Nah, we'll be back next week, mate. We'll have another guest, another run to BB legend jumping on. So looking forward to that.
No,
And more running chat.
always good to catch up, mate. No doubt there'll be more races over the next weekend, and hopefully a special guest next week as well.
Yes, lead up to Ballarat, not far off. So there's a few people lined out for that we're in talks with. So we'll chat then, mate. Take it easy.
You too, mate. Chat soon.